If the children could come up like 250, okay, we're going to have Lord's Supper. We're going to have a few other things too besides the message, Lord's Supper, and we'll have some ministry time. So I want to make sure everyone can, you know, join together for prayer. This past Friday was powerful. I wish everyone was here, but of course not everyone was here. And since I've been here, it's one of the strongest presence of God since I've been a pastor here. And the Lord was true to His word. He had given me something on Tuesday, and so people who were here and you came up for prayer, you knew what that was like. It's the Lord. The Lord is going to be generous. And I'm going to maybe release some prophetic words about His generosity during our prayer time. Some of you have been given an assignment to be generous. Like Suzanne, generous to the nations. Emily, generous in righteousness. Helen, generous with God's presence. There are things that the Lord has given you that you're going to move into a season of generosity. And for Travis, wisdom and cooperation, everyone working together. Okay. And so I'm going to be talking about the theme of generosity, and I almost never say this, and that is, I feel like this is going to be really spiritual. You know, usually I would think, if I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, it would be spiritual. But I've been praying about this a lot, and I feel like this topic of generosity is probably the most spiritual messages I'm going to be giving today and in the next 3 weeks. Meaning, if the Lord speaks to you, you will be freed, one, and you will flow in greater glory and greater presence. We need to be generous not because God is poor. He's not. We need to be generous for ourselves. I believe God's going to break off the spirit of poverty in our midst. I believe God's going to break off a spirit of stinginess in our midst. How do you know you're stingy? Well, certain things really don't occur in your brain. Like, how can I serve somebody? How can I bless somebody? How can I give away my time and my money? Those questions never occur to the stingy person. The stingy person is, how can I save? And the stingy person's cousin is the person of greed. How can I make more money? Many of us are really good with treating ourselves and our family. But the Lord wants beyond that. Okay. So I believe, you know, today and the coming weeks, if you can attend, please attend. Okay. Generosity is an expression of love. Generosity is found in the triune God. I'm going to be reading some theology, a little excerpt, not to bore you too much. But I want to make sure our young people understand. Even as a kid, I knew who was generous and who was not. My mom was always generous. My dad, not so much. And growing up, it was always a game. My mom would slip some money and goes, "Don't tell your dad." Because he would get upset. And that's how we grew up, all three of us. Even now, my mom was, if she finds out, like we went up to New York again this weekend, she would send a few $100, take Serena out. It's not like my mom is wealthy, she really isn't. But she's always given out of her whatever she had. My mom and my sister are poor. Not poor, but they're not. But my mom's generosity is expressed. Elizabeth, buy John and Susanna a car. So all the cars we've had, we never bought. All the Subaru. And my sister's generous. She's really generous. Because if she wasn't generous, she would resist. She would say, "Mom, I don't even have a job. I don't have money." But I'm beginning to sense the power of generosity. So I'm going to be reading two passages today. It's a long, These are like foundational passages, okay? As I mentioned, this is a message that everyone could understand. Yeah. Generosity, selfishness, stinginess, all of us have experienced it, okay? And we want to be like God. We want to think like God. We want to feel like God. We want to see how God rolls, so to speak. And God is the most generous person in all the universe. And if you are generous, you will know how God thinks and feels. Okay. So I'm going to read two passages, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. The first one comes from 1 Chronicles 29. 10 to 20. Okay, this is after the temple has been built, it's been furnished. Okay. So David, verse 10, let me just read it. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? He spent a lot of money building the temple and furnishing. Everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And I now have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever. And keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. Then David said to the whole assembly, praise the Lord your God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed down, prostrating themselves before the Lord and King. You know, much like buying flowers for a funeral or wedding, like building a temple and furnishing with its stuff, it's like instrumentally useless. Like flowers at a funeral, flowers at a wedding anniversary. Like they're fresh for a little while, then they die. It's not like an investment. It's not even food. At least you consume food with flour. You look at it, you smell it, and then in a few hours they're like wilting and die. Like, isn't that a waste? Isn't that a waste? Yeah, it's a waste if you see it in a certain way. But if you see it as an expression of love, it's not a waste. So generosity, we're going to understand, is an expression of love. And there's just solid theology here. David is saying, Lord, we've given you all these, but Lord, all these things are actually from you. You are the creator. No human being ever created anything out of nothing. None of us are original creators. We refurbish, we recycle, we use, we refashion, but none of us have the power to create something. We don't. So all these things come from you, and you give us the blessing to return a little bit back to you in your holy name. And David is overwhelmed. He said, we're a tiny group. Like, who are we that you will be abundant to us? He's overwhelmed. We know David's desire was to build a temple for him. In the ancient world, kings lived in palaces, and the king's God had a palace for himself. So David's heart's desire was to build Yahweh, his God, a palace. But God says, well, David, you've shed too much blood. But your son will build it. But I will continue to bless you. Now, when we get into the New Testament, okay, this is 2 Corinthians 9. We're going to look at verse 6 to 15. Okay, we have a slightly different perspective on generosity, but even though the perspective is different, it's going to strike the same chords as David did. Okay? Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will be abounding in every good work, as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. That's from Malachi 3:10. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity result in thanksgiving to God. People's immediate reaction is when they see generosity, thanks be to God. The generous giver and the acts of generosity is the immediate cause of thanksgiving, because generosity is the very act of God. As God is generous on the good and the evil, when we are generous, people naturally say, praise be to God. Okay. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. He's saying, you're generous. It's like meeting a practical need, and it's increasing worship. People, their eyes are turned to the Lord. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Jesus of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. I'm going to be talking about economics next Sunday. Generosity, kingdom economics. God is not ignorant. God knows the economics of the world, economics at a personal level. And so Paul writes, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Because there's a pattern, and this is pretty consistent. And this pattern is true at an individual level, family level, community level, and I would even say at a national level. America is known for its generosity. Even now, but especially in the past, America may be known for rock and roll music, whatever, but the older generation, they respect, honor America for its generosity. You talk to a first generation Korean, generosity. You talk to any person in the developing world, America is known for its generosity. Would God continue to bless a nation because it's generous? Okay. So we're going to get into that next week. But I want to ask, where does generosity start? Okay. Well, what is generosity? Generosity is an expression of love, okay? It's sharing something that you have or is part of you. It's a sharing. Okay. So technically, it's incorrect to say, I'm generous with myself. Okay? I mean, you could say that, you know. I'm so generous. Like, are you blessed? No, I bless myself. That's narcissism. Okay, that's... Usually, the context of generosity is you share something good, not bad. You're something good. You don't give like old toys to somebody and say, hey, and pretend it's brand new, or old candy and say, hey, I just got this. Generosity is sharing something good with someone else. It could be money, of course. It could be time. It could be your talents. It could be your attention. It could be your compassion. But it's sharing. So the question is, where did generosity start? The answer is, it started in the triune God. Generosity has been in existence for all eternity. As long as God was God the Father, Son, and Spirit, there was always generosity. There was no point in time when generosity was absent. Okay. Now, I'm going to risk losing a few of you, but you guys are all bright. Okay, I'm not going to read a long treatise here, but one of the best writings on the Trinity is from a medieval philosopher theologian named Richard. Okay, Scottish medieval philosopher theologian who worked in France. He goes by the title Richard of Saint Victor. So he was at a church called Saint Victor. And his work on the Trinity, from my perspective, is one of the best. So he begins his reflection on what the Bible says about God. God is love. Right? God is love. Okay. So he's trying to explain, taking that understanding, if God is love, what is entailed? What is implied? And the first thing he thinks about is, love is relational. It won't make any sense if you're the only thing existing. Love implies that there is someone that you love. Love is, by nature, relational. Okay, that's his first point. And if God's love is supreme, then God's love, being supreme, has to match with a recipient who could receive that supreme love. If God loves a lesser creature, that love won't be maximal. But if God the Father loves God the Son, and they are both supreme, then the love that they share will be of the best kind, of the supreme kind. Okay? You follow? Then he says, but in order for this love to be even more supreme, love has to be generous. Love has to be shared. If the Father and the Son are in this intense, amazing love, there is this desire to share this loving reality with the third person. So that's how he generates in terms of explaining Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I teach a class of philosophy of religion, and this was the subject last Monday, and one of the students, she's pretty smart, she said, "I could understand plurality as a duality, Father, Son, but I still have a hard time getting around why it's a Trinity." I said, that's a good question. And this person recently got married a few years ago, and they have a baby. And I just said, "Well, let's use you as an example." I said, let's say you and your husband have just an amazing love in marriage. Just amazing. And so you're so blessed by your love for one another, you want some other human being to experience it. So when you have a child, that child is enfolded into the amazing, loving marriage that you have. So it's a desire that comes from experiencing love. And we do this all the time. Whenever I eat amazing food by myself, I immediately get depressed. If I'm eating lousy food by myself, I am not as depressed. Okay? Because if I'm eating like... But if it's amazing, I almost always think about, "Oh, I wish Suzanne was here. I wish the girls were here." It's always a bittersweet experience. It's always a mixed experience. Okay, if I enjoy something amazing, I go, "Oh, I wish our girls were here." Even when me and Suzanne are eating something, we immediately thought, "We got to bring Jonna here. We got to bring Serena here." Why is that? Because the enjoyment of the food is so delectable, so out of this world, that we want to share. And sometimes, you know, we bring the girl and we're like, "Isn't that the best, like, soba ever?" It's okay. Or Serena's, "It's good." That's like the highest compliment. Okay? Serena's response, "It's good." We know how to translate that. It's like, "Woohoo!" That's what that means. Right? So in the Godhead, I didn't read the passage, so that's good. The Lord was merciful, generous with you. So generosity is found in God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the amount of generosity is infinite. Like, His wisdom is infinite. His love is infinite. There is no cap. There's no ceiling. It ever flows. God never gets tired. His grace overflows. So God is always generous. He is never in need. Now, this generosity of God frees us for God to live us with freedom. We don't want a needy God. We don't want a God that says, "I need to create human beings because I need them to return the love." No. God is fully self-sufficient. He's fully self-abundant. So any action beyond the Godhead is just extra. It's for freedom and joy. And we want a God like that. We don't want God needing us. Okay? But because God is overflowing love, He wants to share what it likes to be God. His desire, He is so great that His desire is for human beings to know what being God is like. That's why Jesus came. Fully God, fully man. That's why we were redeemed. Not so much to avoid this place called hell and go to this place called heaven, but enter forever into the amazing, joyful life of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so for the rest of our lives, we too will enjoy the delights of being with God. And part of that is enjoying, big part of that is being caught up in the waves of love and generosity and laughter and joy. I'm going to be talking about spiritual warfare later, but I'm going to just bring a little story.
occasionally I've
experienced open visions. What is that? I'm in prayer and my eyes are open, then I'll see something. As though it's like taking place, as I see you with my natural eyes. Okay? So this is either fall of 2010 or 2011. I know it was before 2012 because I had spent some time with Kenneth. Kenneth was arrested November 3rd, 2012. Okay, so it was the year before then. I'm in the city of Dalian doing a DTS, and I'm in prayer, and I have an open vision. And the open vision are waves, like building, waves building and crashing onto the shore. I mean, it's just very vivid. One wave at a time. Massive waves, almost like a tsunami, like huge. And when I see the first wave, the Lord says, these are my intercessors. Because I was praying for China, like, you know, like, what's going on? And the Lord said, these are my intercessors. And so the Lord is building up this wave. And what I see in this first set of waves is that the waves come readily together. Like, I mean, it just comes with great power, great speed. Then as I look, I see a second set of waves. Like, I could tell the waters are having a hard time building together. The first set came so fast and mighty. This one, I could tell there's like a, if waves had a struggle to kind of come together to create a wave, it was one of those things. Like, you want to help them. So they're just creating, and then finally they crest and they crash. And the Lord says, these are my funders for the back to Jerusalem. He says that. And then I see a third wave. Just like the first, big waves easily form. And then the Lord said, these are the sent ones. These are the missionaries. So then I asked the Lord, why is there such a struggle in the middle wave, the second wave? And he said, that's where the spiritual battle is, John. It's the battle of generosity. It's the battle of love of God versus the love of money. I didn't know the whole situation in China, but that it just came as a very powerful visit. So the following day, I asked a Chinese church leader, listen, I have this very unusual experience. Can you tell me about how money flows in China? And this person said, well, the folks who are coming into money right now, they know how to give to their own church, but they have no idea how to give to missions. And this isn't a condemnation of Chinese Christians at all. But in China, much like here, there is a spiritual battle between the love of money and the love of God, just like in the days of the Bible. You can't love God and money at the same time. So here I was praying, and I realized money and spiritual battle go hand in hand. Okay? And so in this work, the great release of the missionaries will be the funders. And so if you have been giving, some of you have been giving to Mission Friends and Wave Starters, I just want to say thank you. You are doing spiritual work. When you're giving to like Andrew and Noreen, they are able to travel to these places, host these heart schools. You are doing as much hardcore, center essential spiritual work than any missionary or any person like me going there. It's a partnership. I'm going to unpack this a bit more in 2 weeks. Okay, but we should start with theology central, and that is when we think about God, we got to think about God of love and God of generosity. In other words, if you want to know what it feels like to be God,
It's necessary that you flow in generosity. It's important that you feel the joy of giving, the joy of trusting in God, joy of seeing delight in people, the joy of power and transformation. That's what God sees. God delights in seeing transformation. He doesn't worry about his bank account. And for those who bless people, they have the same excitement as God himself. But we could only get into that if we flow with God in a spirit of generosity. And generosity has nothing to do with how much money you have right now. Zero. You could be a billionaire and live in a spirit of stinginess. You could have zero on your bank account, but you're generous with your prayers, with your 2 cents, with your attention and your love. It's the spirit of generosity. And you do it joyfully and freely, not reluctantly, not like, oh, I got to tithe because it's an obligation. It's not like I have to do it. The church is pressuring me. That's not it. That's the wrong spirit. God never says, oh, my goodness, I got to bless these people. No, no, he's laughing, he's joyful, he's delighting in. Everything is provided. Sin, hey, grace. Death, Jesus. The devil, ha ha, resurrection. The future, hey, I'm still the Lord. What empire in all of human history overtook the Lord? None. And none will in the future. Yeah. And so when we tap into generosity, there's just a release of joy, release of freedom. And when you are generous, you look like your Father. As children, as sons and daughters, if you are generous, you remind people of your Father, God the Father. Okay? If you want to look like your spiritual dad, if you want to look like your dad, be generous. If you want to look like the other father, the father of darkness, Satan, be stingy. Be anxious, be worried. But if you want to flow like God the Father, be generous. Okay. Now, part of the reason, not completely, is that some of you grew up struggling. And so, you didn't choose as a kid to be stingy. It's almost like a defense mechanism. Okay. You grew up poor, struggling. Maybe the other kids had better toys than you. Like, oh, I wish I could have that. Oh, I got to save money. And so, the way you are thinking now was actually, biographically speaking, formed as a little kid. Okay, you weren't old enough, you weren't mature enough to have self-control to regulate the kinds of thoughts that you did as a kid. So many people who are actually on the extremes of greed or a spirit of poverty side, they have a story to tell. Listen to your story. How did you get to where you are? And it's almost always, when I grew up, I didn't have this, I struggled with this, I didn't have the right clothes, and I told myself, when I'm successful, I'm going to get a Mercedes, I'm going to get a BMW, I'm going to go to this school and have this kind of job, and I'm going to prove to people I'm wealthy. I'm somebody. There's some of that story. Okay. And for those, the Lord wants to bring healing. And I'll talk about that in the fourth. Generosity will bring freedom to those gripped by the spirit of poverty and greed. Okay. So these are little previews. But for today, I want everyone to know God is generous. And here's an amazing thing. Even if you are the most stingiest person in the world, he doesn't relate to you out of stinginess. He goes, okay, between our two daughters, one's a little more generous than the other. I'll just say that, okay? I don't want to slam anyone. Okay, just one is very, very generous. Let me just say it that way. I'm going to be very careful. But the other one who's not as generous, we all love her. She's my mom's favorite. It's not like because she was so generous to grandma. Actually, the other one is much more generous. But for whatever reason, I used to wrap her up as a baby, to give her a bath. She was tiny, so I put her in her towel, and my mom's sitting upstairs. And I would swing her after a bath, and I'd say, "Where's the baby?" And then I'd open it up, and my mom loves her. God loves you! God loves you! Even if you're stingy, I'm not going to ask your hand if you raise your hand if you're stingy. Okay, that would be like too cruel. But you know who you are. And my answer, my word to you is God loves you. God loves you. He loves you with a generous heart. His love for you is not based on your generosity. Thanks be to God. Because it's true. Sometimes we are in a season of stinginess. Okay, I had some issues with money growing up. And that is, if I'm poor, forget it. I'm gonna make it. I'm going to make the money. I was the hardest working high school kid ever in Walt Whitman's history. Mowing 25 lawns a week for 4 years. Doing a paper route, my brother's paper route. Busting up driveways. Waking leaves, and then looking back, I go, man, I charged so little. Remove snow. This one house took me 5 hours to clear the snow, and all the while they were in Florida. We had a massive snowstorm like in 86. No, no, 82. And I'm there 5 hours straight, and I charged the guy $25. And I'm thinking, yeah, idiot. I should not charge them per hour. I should charge them for project. One time, my brother and I made $500 in 5 hours, busting up someone's driveway. Okay. So I told my brother, Ed, I go, don't tell me! Because I would always come up with like work plan. Ed, we're going to bust up so-and-so's driveway. Like, what did you get ourselves into? I told him, I'll do it. How? We're going to rent a pneumatic jackhammer? Like, who's going to do that? Oh, Ed, you're much bigger than, stronger than me, so you're going to do that. Then what are you going to do? I'm going to move it, you know. So we get paid $500 after 5 hours. I give the money to him. And he's like, and of course, we take the money and we give it to mom. We kept $0. And after 4 years, my mom calculated, you know, she said, John, do you know how much money you made as a high schooler? I have no idea. She said, you made $10,000. So I had issues with money growing up. It was in so much stinginess. It was called self-reliance. And even as a pastor, that self-reliance was still in my mind. And that is, if the church doesn't pay me, I'm going to work at Whole Foods. So while I was here in Bethesda, I applied to UPS and Whole Foods, and they still rejected me. And I know why, because in my resume, it's like MD, MD, PhD. Like, who's going to hire an overqualified guy to work overnight at UPS or Whole Foods? And I had to really repent to the Lord, repent, and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to function out of self-reliance. Because in that dark place, I said, Lord, the only person I could trust is me. Me. Not the church. Me. Okay. Lord, I'm sorry. Even you. Because sometimes I think you may like the fact that I'd be poor. I don't want to live that way, Lord. It's me. And it took me a while to break away from that. Okay? And so I tell you this story because we go through different seasons and different issues. It's not like stinginess per se, but it's this aspect, this thing that's related to me. Like God's not generous with me. Or God can't be depended on. It makes no numerical monetary sense for me to give when I don't have money. Like, how does that work? Like, what kind of economics is that? Like, I'm generous and I'm going to get generous. It doesn't work that way. What works is I work hard and the money I get, I save. And I don't give it away. I save it. That economics I understand. I work hard, I save it, and then I spend it. What is this thing about giving away? Okay? And so when you don't have eyes of faith to see, that's how you're going to think. That's the natural eyesight. Okay? So there's a lot of interesting issues, real life issues, wrapped up in generosity, especially related to money. But for today, I want everyone to know generosity starts with the living God. He is generous. Therefore, I will be generous. I want to reflect my Father. I want to reflect God. And I'm going to take God's word that if I live life generously, He will be generous with me. If I sow generously, I will reap generously. And if I sow, you know, with stinginess, sparingly, I'm going to reap sparingly. Okay? I'm going to really believe that. It's all through God's word. And today I just sense, kind of related to Friday, the Lord wants to be generous with us. He wants to be generous with us with His presence, with His love today. Okay? And so what we're going to do is, I don't know where the little ones are. It's 2:55. But if we could get the little ones, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And we're going to have some time praying for one another, but also waiting for God to touch us. Okay. Wherever you are on the stinginess to generosity spectrum, it doesn't matter. If you're in any part of that spectrum, okay. For today, it doesn't matter. Okay. Now, we could say God's greatest expression of generosity is what we are going to remember and reenact today. Okay. There is no greater generosity than giving of yourself. I could give my money, I could give my time, but if I were to sacrifice my life for the sake of someone else, that's the greatest act of generosity. If I give my life so that somebody else would live, that's the greatest act. And so the sacrifice of the Son The sacrifice of the Son is the act of greatest generosity. And I believe the Lord wants to have us flow in it. I think that's probably the most apt metaphor. When you are walking in generosity, it's as though you are flowing. Okay? Water is flowing through you. Joy is flowing through you. Funds are flowing through you. You receive and you give. Then you receive some more, then you give. Okay. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from the east and west, from north and south, and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with His disciples, He took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized Him.
This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust Him to share the feast which He has prepared. The Lord be with you. I'm going to show the next slide. The Lord be with you. Okay. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord. Receive our sacrifice of praise. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith, encourage us with hope, inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh, and the Holy and life-giving Spirit, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. Now, the people of God, this is the body of Christ given for you. So if you would take your crackers. Amen. Now the Jews, the blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that through word and sacrament, you have given us your Son, who is the true bread from heaven and food of eternal life. So strengthen us in your service, that our daily living may show our thanks through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. I'd like to just invite everyone to stand up. I just want to release a few prophetic words. These are not all the prophetic words. And then I want you to gather in twos and three and bless one another. And the blessing is of the following kind. Lord, since you are generous, or because you are generous, may that generosity flow in and through my friend. Some of you may not know it, but you have been gifted. Okay? Some of you have funds. And some of you have a legacy. I don't know if Esther's here, but the legacy of generosity started with a grandmother.
No matter what she had in the household, she blessed the ministers of God, servants of God, that generously continued through Esther's dad. It extended to even his business, selling to a high school kid who was working in the golf store, his store. And that generosity continues through Esther. We see her. She's blessed so many people. Okay. So some of you flow in the generosity of money. But others of you flow not necessarily in money, but with faith. Like Kimberly is a woman of faith. And through her faith, and Tina as well, they've been interceding, praying every morning for people of the church. They've been praying for the next generation. Tina and Kimberly have been praying for our kids regularly. The kids don't belong to them biologically, but they're generous with their time and prayers. And I just want to just thank them for that generosity. Some of you who are working with youth like and children like Bonetta and Susanna and Erica and others, Jonna, you're generous with your time. You're generous with your thought and prayers. So on behalf of the church, we say thank you. And some of you, like Andrew, he just loves the church. He just comes with the furniture of the church. Okay, he likes to serve and he wants to see people do well. And so there's a generosity of wanting to bless people, period. Okay. Some of you have a generosity for the nations and for this America. And I think Travis, you're one. You need to, the Lord's. When you came up on Friday, like Nehemiah anointing, you know, I mean, it's strong. I think there is a great work for you to do for this nation and the nations. And Emily, the Lord's given you truth and righteousness. Those are the two things. You are to flow in truth and righteousness, and God will give you the platform. Okay? A lot of times we flow with things we appreciate, you know. Helen loves the Holy Spirit. Helen loves healing. And so I just see Helen moving with the generosity of the presence of God. The presence of God. So this generosity is like, it doesn't exist on the earth. It's like all entirely heavenly. And so this morning as I'm driving, I heard the Lord say, heaven will line up for the sake of Helen. Heaven will line up. Pretty strong word. Like wherever she goes and opens her mouth and blesses people, prays, heaven will line up. The Father will see to it that the heaven and the angels will line up to bless whomever Helen blesses. Okay, I'm going to say this publicly because it was strong on the drive down here. Okay, Catherine Coleman. Get some long robes, Helen. You're going to move. And we're going to just see the nations touch. And some of you, the Lord's going to restore. You thought you were going to be generous. And then you hit a hard time. You go, how am I going to bless? And so, like, Jimmy, you got to trust in the Lord. He's going to restore that. He hasn't forgotten those things. Okay. So some of us struggle with, like, oh, I want to bless. But, Lord, how can I bless? I'm struggling financially. Like, how am I going to bless? And the Lord says, the story's not over. There's another chapter. In order for you to be generous, you just need faith. Okay, you don't need circumstances. God would have told Joseph in the dungeon, hey, Joseph, you are going to move in my wealth. How, Lord? I'm in a dungeon. Oh, just wait a day. You will be in the Pharaoh's court, and all the administrative authority will be given to you, and the the food of Egypt will be shared to the other nations. Joseph, you are my man. Okay? So Joseph's calling and generosity was not based on circumstance, but hearing the Lord, trusting in the Lord. Okay? So you can move in generosity even though you may not have the resources you think right now. But at least move in prayer. Move in faith and prayer. Move with a heart of generosity. Even if you're poor and the last meal is a McDonald's value meal too, which is a Big Mac, I think, you could cut that in half. Gotta make it into a Little Mac, you know. It's the spirit. It's the spirit of generosity. Okay. Okay. And Tom, well, you know, the thing you're going to be generous is with God's endurance. It's not, you're creator, but it's God's endurance. Okay. God's endurance. God's endurance. I'm so glad the Goldmans are here. Okay? Okay. Notoria, Ryan. Tarn is here too. They're flowing generosity of hope. Okay? Hope in the goodness of God. Hope in healing, but hope. Okay? I mean, as we know, life is challenging, but they keep on hoping, keep on praying. They're moving with hope. And hope is probably the most needed commodity on the earth. So we bless the Goldmans. Notoya, Ryan, Tarn, Naraya is an awesome soccer player. We're going to generosity of more scores, more Goldmans. I'm just kidding. And the folks here, you guys are the Ed, Isan, Singakman. I believe the Lord's going to build your generosity of friendship, okay? Just family and friendship. It's going to flow out of that. Okay? And some funds, too. I just see funds, money signs over your heads, even now. Okay? And Erica Hunzu. You're already doing it with like Mike and Anna, but as you get older, you're going to be like generous with your time, money. It's like all of the above. House, time, money, prayers, love, affection. You're going to just do that, especially with the next generation of leaders. Okay. So we all have some special gifts to share. Yeah. Suzanne is generous with the federal government. Funds, you know, billions of dollars. That's the best. All the taxpayers' money, millions and millions. I love giving them away in a constructive fashion because she loves the poor. She loves the poor, poor nations. Because God loves the poor. God lifts up the head of the poor. God wants to shout, I'm here, I love you. You're hungry, here's food. You're not educated, here's education. Okay. So many of you, almost all of you, are called into some form of generosity. Like Rachel is amazingly generous. Time, and she loves feeding God's servants. And so, okay, next month, okay, you got to treat me. And Jose is amazingly generous with time, thoughts, work. He's always thinking about people, and so. And Mia flows with God's compassion everywhere and intimacy. You know, your intimacy could impact people. Like, if you know God really well, like a guinea, if you know God really well, then your words will be anointed with the knowledge of God. And Joseph back there, he's a man of generosity. He's a spiritual big brother, father of villages. Literally. Okay. And then some of you are, I just see the Lord grooming you. You're like Simba, like the Lion King, like Alfred and Diana and the other young couples, like Noel and Anastasia, like Simba, like kings to be, right? They're going to come into their place. They're going to come into it. The couple that really touched us is a couple in Orlando that, when they were super wealthy, they gave a lot of money. But even when they were poor, like the last few years, they still gave a lot of money. I mean, I was in tears almost. Like the last time they gave to Andrew and Noreen, they didn't have any. They gave out of their foundation. They were living off of their foundation, but they wrote this huge check. And we're going to give our church the opportunity to be generous in the coming weeks. You're going to get an email. We want to be generous with our mission partners and friends. You're going to see the list. You pray over, like, Lord, who do you want me to be generous to? Like John Goh? Ed and Linda? The Browns? Kent? Shin? Mission friends? Make it an assignment of hearing God's voice. Look at the mission partners and friends and say, Lord, who do you want me to bless? And may not be necessarily someone you know really well. It could be a Pastor Franklin in India. Who knows who? But you look at that list and say, Lord, I want to be generous with my bonus or whatever this year. Tell me who and tell me the amount. And you just act by faith. Okay? We want to not just talk about generosity, but we want to act on it. And I 100% believe your action of generosity will be returned, okay, by the Lord. His power, His joy, His anointing, even finances. You're going to see. You're going to be shocked. Okay. So if you're going to give with a cheerful heart. Give with a desire to just reflect your Father, the Heavenly Father. Okay. Right now, just two or three of you, just kind of gather together and you want to bless each other in Jesus' name. Okay? And you can pray along that line, Lord, you are the generous God. May your generosity flow. Okay? And if there's a particular item, you could do that. But let's bless each other. Kids, the youth, gather together with other people. It could be other youth or family or adults. This is going to be short, maybe about 4 or 5 minutes. Okay, just share. Just bless each other. Thank you.
Let's
stand and close with the final song. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father of generosity, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Yes, you're worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none besides you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Every song, worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save us, Lord. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Yes, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those. Oh, holy and holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and faith and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Oh, lead me with your leading love, Lord. Yes. Holy, yes.
Father, we thank you. As the winds from the ocean, Lord, are created as the sun hits the water, Lord, your generosity towards us is everlasting and ever renewing. And we thank you, Lord, for your loving gentleness. That you are always generous, night and day, 24/7. You are always generous with your heart. You are always generous with your grace. You are always generous with your forgiveness. You're generous with the hope that's designed from your thoughts and plans. You're generous with your chesed, with your loyalty. You are generous, Lord, in your faithfulness. You never get tired of reminding us and loving us and showing us who you are. You have no fatigue or exhaustion from loving your children. Even when we are stubborn, even when we are not interested in hearing, we don't do enough for you to totally shut us out and say, I cannot deal with him or her or them. But you are generous. You are generous. So, Father, we want to look like you. Father, we want to flow like you. Father, we want people to see us and immediately they think of you. So may all of us, Lord, move in a spirit of life, the spirit of love, which is the spirit of generosity. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we know you always outgive your givers. You always fill those who give. You are the God that overflows. Our cup overflows, the Bible says. Our cup overflows. It's not so much the exact amount that we need. It's like, here's more. Just like our friend Dan says, here's more. Have more of my love. There's always that extra wine, bread, fish. There's always more where this thing came from. There's always more. So may we move in the freedom and the joy of your generosity. Even today, free us, Lord, from our own condemnation, our own thoughts, our own stinginess, our own self-reliance. We want to trust in the abundant-hearted God. We trust in the generous-hearted God. That our mistakes are covered. Our failings are covered. Our weaknesses are covered. So we trust in your generous heart, Lord. And we find our security, our comfort, our deep shalom. Because you love us and you will take care of us as you have been taking care of us all our lives. So Father, in Jesus' name, increase the presence of the Holy Spirit in this area of generosity. Increase every resource in Jesus' name. For some who are truly struggling with finances, we pray for a release of finances. For those who are lacking peace, Whether they have too much of stress and anxiety, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, you release peace, spiritual, mental, emotional peace. And for those who are, Lord, just worried about the future, we ask for your better view, the best view in town. Your children always have the very best view in town because that window opens up first to you, Lord. That window opens up to your countenance, and then the other window opens up to the object of your love, this nation, the city, your church. So we will be happy in you, confident in you, in your good providence, in your good plans. Bless each and every one of us today on this joyous occasion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.